I made an outline, and then I made another outline, and then I made another outline. And Spirit kept changing the outline. So I have no idea what's going to come up today. So we're just going to move through it and see what it is. The title today is The Gift of Being Human. And the reason this has come up is in the last few weeks, I've met with a lot of people who are talking about meditating and getting out of here, meditating and leaving here, that they don't like it here, that being human is a real hard place to be, and that they they will do anything to get out of here. And I don't know if you've ever been at that place. I was at one time. But I believe that reincarnation and coming to this earth in the first place, even if it's your first time, it's not a punishment. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And so it is a place to practice learning, forgiveness, honoring, remembering of who you really are. And for me, I went back to the definition of human. I'm sure most of you in here have heard it. But Hugh, and if you go to many of the ancient religions, they will chant Hugh. Hugh means light. And so when you say you are a human, what you are saying is you are made of light. You are a light man, and man meaning not female and male, but a general species of being a human. When we talk about light, we're talking about an aspect that is pure source. When there is light, there is nothing else. When there is light, there is all of everything. So there's no difference. So when I say to you, you are a light being or a light man or a human, what I am saying, your very essence is of light. So I ran across this by May Rowland, and I've used it before, but I want to use it this morning. I see you truly, a human child of light. I see you guided and directed by an inward spirit that leads you unerringly into paths of growing and remembering, and sometimes forgetting. I see you strong and whole. I see you free from all limitations of any kind. I see you as a spiritually perfect light being. You are living and breathing your spiritual purpose every moment. And you don't have a choice. You don't have to look for your purpose. It will come to you. And just being in that light and knowing that you are the light, that is your purpose. The rest of it is just chatter. So I see you, and here's the biggie. You are the I am. Let that sink in. You are the I am. Now, you're also human. And what does it mean to be human? What are the gifts? Well, first of all, I want you to take your hand and look at it. Just look at it. Feel it. What are the joyous things that you can do because you have two hands? Play an instrument, garden. Without these two hands, you couldn't touch, hug. I mean, these are gifts. These are not bad things. The three dimension is not a bad thing. It's a gift. I mean, you know, look at your eyes and your ears and your mouth. If I didn't have a mouth, you wouldn't be sitting out there listening to me. That might be a good thing, but... So, what I'd like you to do right now is to just close your eyes and move each part of your body and think about the gift of that part of your body. You know? If you didn't have a tongue, you couldn't taste the food. Didn't have a stomach, couldn't digest it. So think of all of you, this manifestation of light. So your eyes, your hands, your legs, your feet, your ears, your nose. Without your nose, you couldn't smell that rose, those wonderful flowers, your heart, both the emotional heart and the etheric heart, and your brain. Sometimes that gets in the way also, but, you know, without these things, you know, and understand they are a manifestation of what? Light. That's what you are. So now I want you to look, turn to someone and look at them and see if you can see that light around them. You know, you can pair up, just look at it. If you can't see it, imagine it. Look at their smile. According to science, all light is connected. So when you look at someone and you see their smile, their light, who are you looking at? Yourself. There's only one being in this room, and that's the light. Your eyes, your hands, your legs, your feet, every part of you are portals to that I am. They are a way for you to experience things and manifest that I am. Sue, every time you plant something and it grows, you're manifesting the I am. Every time you crochet something and it turns into a beautiful pattern, that's the I am. Every time we draw a mandala, that's the I am. Do you understand how precious this is? What a gift this is? We don't need to get out of here. We just need to realize how special we are and what an incredible experience this is. And I'll tell you, when you just had a birthday and now I'm 83, that specialness, you go, why didn't I know this when I was in my 20s? You know, look at all that time I wasted when all the time I was living the light. The key to your healing is to be aware of that light reflection in everything. Not only yourself, but in everything. A friend of mine wrote this the other day and sent it to me on Facebook. And those of you who are my friends on Facebook know I like Facebook. He says, it's the simple things, the little moments, that's what makes up this whole dance of experience. Allowing myself to see how grateful I am when I stop to acknowledge what is so often overlooked. Breathe in the light and release it. He's an incredible person, incredible. Most people would label him as a hippie. You know, he's got the dreadlocks and runs around in long robes and plays music and makes jewelry and is right off the wall. And of course, I love him because I see that light in him.
What's his name again?
C, S-E-A-Y. He actually calls him I-C-U. That's the name he goes by. But he, if you ever want to look him up on my Facebook, like I said. Many of the holy books talk about God, Spirit, Creator, creating you in that likeness. And the Bible says it very clearly. The I Am. If God, Creator, is... and we know that that is, then you were created in that image. And if you were created in the image of the I Am, you are a reflection of Spirit, and you are the I Am. I really want you to feel yourself growing and expanding, and begin to expand to the place that you become this room and everybody in it is you. Just feel yourself getting bigger and bigger and bigger. In Lakota, there's a term called Metaquiawasan. It means that we are all related, and on a deeper level, it says we are all everything. Which means that in Lakota, not only do they consider all of the people as one, which is a hard, hard concept for us out here, because when they talk about Lakota, I'll tell you, everybody's your relative out there if you're Lakota. Period. Doesn't matter. It's all one energy, one body. They're all of that. They're also all of the animals, all of the trees, all of the grasses. They are the sunset. They are the sunrise. They are the moon. They are the sun. There is no separation in the Lakota philosophy, which is one of the reasons that I tend to lean that way, is because I experience that. We talk a lot about creating our own surroundings, creating our own reality. And I get several messages from elders, and this was one that I got just the other day. Says, your dreams are more beautiful. The world are not a product of childish fantasy, nor idle imagination. In other words, your reality, your world, your being human is not just a product of fantasy or your imagination. They are visions inspired by your own universal heart. And you manifest everything, including every star in the sky. You are so powerful, so incredible, that anything you experience, you've created. Everything you see, all those portals, you have created those portals. That's a really big thing to imagine, isn't it? No. I'm going to continue this and then go in to finish that thought. Just going to let it hang out there because I can see the expressions on some of your faces. I didn't create that. Yeah, you did. You did, you know. So you have a life purpose to assist in the creation of divine harmony in the world through sacred activism and the expression of your soul's talents. Believe that the beautiful world you long for is not only possible, but it is a part of your spiritual I am. Now, before I got here, I said to the guide that was standing next to me, what I really want to learn this time is unconditional love. Please don't ever say that. Because over the years, what has come to me are people that are very hard to love. So how are you going to learn something? You know, you learn what water is by drinking it, by walking through it, by bathing through it. So how do you learn unconditional love? By getting hit in the side of the head, you know? How did Christ learn unconditional love? You don't have to answer me. Just think about it. So the things that we create are fulfilling our spiritual path and purpose as to why we came here. And that sometimes, you know, is a lot to swallow. You know, a lot to swallow. I remember a friend of mine said, she says, the one thing I want in this life is someone to take care of me and meet all my needs. The next thing she knew, she couldn't walk. And she was being taken care of and on disability. And at one point, she had a healing and could walk. And it happened at your place, Jean. And she had no problems walking. And she got home and she says, now that I can walk, I'm afraid I'll lose my disability. Couldn't get out of bed the next morning. It is the hardest thing to say, I created this. It's so much easier to blame other people. You know, some of you know my history, some of you don't. You know, I was raped when I was 6. I was abused all my life. You know, I lived in poverty, didn't read until I was in 5th grade. I created that. Why? So I could have compassion and put out more unconditional love for people who were experiencing that. So the more you allow that light in, the clearer you get, the more you take responsibility and understand that not all these things are bad. The happier you get. I was having a conversation with my 17-year-old great-grandson, and it was his father that just passed. And remember, he's 17. And I said to him, Mikey, you're amazing. And he said, every day I learn a new lesson. and will always be thankful for everything. It's the only way to live in pure happiness. Guys, he's 17. I didn't know that till I was in my 60s. And I said to him, so where did you get all this wisdom? And he says, experience. And pretty much applying something I learned every day. Also, the only way to be happy is just to decide to be happy. I can't dwell on all the dumb small things. And I said, your dad was amazing. And he said, and this is important, at least it was important for me. He said, now remember, his dad had traumatic brain injury and was an addict and had been in jail 4 times. I mean, my grandson volunteered for a life that was challenging, to say the least. He said, he was amazing, and he had confidence. He was an amazing soul, and I'm so happy that I got to experience him. I mean, I'm not going to take responsibility for this talk. I'm going to say Spirit made me do it.
You're right. You chose to listen to Spirit.
Right. So all of the experience that you have are helping you live what you came here to do. And there isn't a person in this room that did not come here to transform not only themselves, but all of humanity and this planet. Not one of you. Some of you do it by prayers. Some of you do it with working with ley lines. Some of you do it by giving readings. Some of you do it by doing counseling. Some of you do it just by walking around. You know? But you are all absolutely living your purpose. Stop trying to find something. It's right in front of you. And if you're to do more, I guarantee you, it will come to you. It will be plopped in your life. Like Nancy ended up here. You know? So, at this point in time, I was going to have you write it out, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I want you to think about traumas that in your life that are still affecting you today or you're still angry about. And I'll give you an example. And then after you have located that, I want you to think in your head the gift it gave you. The example I'll use is my mother used to lock me in closets. And that closet was only about that big. And there was nothing in it but me. And it was pitch dark. And for years, I was afraid of the dark. But you know what it taught me? When you put a 6-year-old in a closet and it's dark, guess what they do? They leave. So my mother gave me the gift of out-of-body travel. That experience, most people would consider an abuse. I consider it a gift. You know? I was in polio. I had polio. I didn't walk for years. I was in a wheelchair in my 30s. What did that teach me? Let me tell you, when you're in a wheelchair, nobody looks at you. They look around you. They have a tendency not to see you. You know, you want to have an experience? Go to a mall or the grocery store and get in one of those carts or a wheelchair and ride it around. The feeling is incredible. Go out there and experience what other people are experiencing so you don't have to end up in a wheelchair in order, you know, unless it's your divine purpose. So now I'd like you, I've shared a couple of mine, think about something, and if you feel comfortable sharing it with the group, raise your hand and share it. And if you have identified with the gift, why share that also? Jean.
Oh, I have to share your experience about being free of the dark. When I was small, there were three of us girls in one room, one bedroom. And since there wasn't much room, I slept in a crib a lot longer than most children do. And one night, one of my sisters got underneath the mattress of the crib, shoved it up and down and up and down. And it may seem funny now, but it scared me to death. And from that time on, I was petrified in the dark, and I had dreams of leopards getting at me. I thought there was something going to get me. And even when they had more money and I had very little room of my own, my mother would have to go up with me and look in the closet with me and under the bed. And I was scared of the dark for years even when we bought the land here. Well, I thought this is very nice, but I could never live here alone. But I've overcome that. That was my lesson.
So what was your gift, though? What did it, how is it helping you move through your spiritual path?
Helping me overcome fear. Fear controlled my life. I mean, I was so fearful. When I was in high school, when I graduated, I was offered a paid-for college education, and I turned it down because I was afraid I would have to speak in front of people. So that was the challenge.
So can you help other people that now have that fear? See, without that experience, you know. Anybody else? Yes. Can you face them?
Yes. So, as being a medium when I was younger, I had a lot of experiences as a very young child, experiencing things that most people will say, not there, it doesn't exist, and some of my experiences weren't so pretty. They were actually very scary for me as a child, and needing that support from my parents and not receiving it, I ended up turning my gifts off, and it was some of the darkest times of my life, not feeling connected to myself or to God, and it really affected my faith. It affected the way that I connected to people and to myself. And through my experience of spirit coming through, it really taught me to trust myself more, trust my intuition, and it also really made me scared of death, because there was a period in my life where I had lost so many people that I cried out to God, why are all of my family and friends dying? I don't understand. And through this process, it taught me so much about myself and to be able to stand in my truth and not be afraid of it anymore, because now I understand that the spirit is limitless. And, you know, we put so many limitations on ourselves as being in this 3D existence that now I can help my own clients and help people in my life come to their own realization of what it means to really trust themselves in their process and the awakening. And that's really powerful for me, because I lived in fear my entire life of my capabilities, of what people thought of me, and even coming out of being a medium, I'm still working through it, of being completely open of what I do in this world and And that's a really big thing for me. I've never been able to do that in my life. So
oftentimes our traumas are our doctorate level curriculum. Anybody else?
I'll share one, Barbara.
Okay, share it.
When I was growing up, I didn't know what was going on, but I could feel people's feelings before they got there. And I, of course, how I originally picked that up, I guess like most of us do, was a parent. My father was a really angry man. And eventually I realized I could feel his anger when he was driving toward the house. I could feel his anger when I couldn't see him coming around the house into the backyard. Later I realized that it wasn't just him, that I could feel people's feelings when they would just come up. I guess one of the times that it struck me so powerfully was I was about 16, and there was a neighbor who was having a lot of emotional issues, and I was sitting on the hood of this, leaning up against the front of this car, and he came up and he started talking, and I could feel every feeling that he had, and I just started talking to him based on what he was feeling. And later, when we finished, he went around and knocked on the back door, and he talked to my mom, and he said, "Something's going on." He said, "I've never felt anything like that before." That he told my mom that I was able to reach in and find things that he didn't know were there. Well, the problem with that, that caused a lot of suffering, is I could never sleep in a room where anyone was sleeping. It made it really hard when I was going to camp. It made it really hard when I was traveling to other countries and was staying in a hostel. I couldn't sleep in a room where other people were because I could feel all the feelings around me, and it kept me awake all night. But that difficulty turned into an amazing blessing when I started doing counseling. Because then when people would come into the room, I could sense what their issue was before they began to speak. And it was a wonderful, wonderful gift. Now I'm trying to learn how to adjust the volume, you know, and but at this point I wouldn't give that gift away. It's like a sixth sense without which I would feel lost. That's enough.
You know, it's very interesting that you said that, because one of the hardest days for me during the whole year is Good Friday. Because so many people are in mourning and in such pain, and I feel it. I feel it all. I really have to go hide on Good Friday because I feel that. And so just so you get a feeling of oneness and that you're not alone, I'm going to ask some questions, and all you have to do if you choose is to raise your hand. How many of you have been physically abused? Okay. What is the gift? And I'm not going to ask you to do it now, but when you get home, write down the story that's not real. And what was the gift? How many of you have been emotionally abused? Is there any hand that isn't going up? You know, from our perspective, we were emotionally abused. But it wasn't really. Remember, you are the I Am. You are the powerful one. There is no separation between you and everything. You and God. You know? My grandson, before he left, he says, all I want to do is stop hurting and be in joy. Next day he was gone. He got what he asked for. He created it. So how many of you have been bullied? How many of you have been poor? Yeah. So, do you see what I'm saying? How many of you have gotten caught in your egos? But, you know, without an ego, I couldn't sit up here. So, don't label things good and bad. They're all just a continuum of your purpose here. To be human is the most incredible gift. Regardless of what you're experiencing, if you can look at it that way.
Barbara, my childhood, my grandfather had a hardening of the arteries, and he sat in the corner of a kitchen because he couldn't move around, and I would sit at his feet. And the only thing we had to read was the Bible. So we read the Bible in German continually. We got to the end.
It's beautiful. Yeah, Christ said, greater things than I do, you will do. End of conversation. So, you know, go back and find out what all of these holy people can do. You know, I'm still trying to walk through walls, which my teacher could do. And I don't know what's the matter with my head, but I hit that wall every time. But I've seen them. I've seen holy people walk right through a wall. I've seen them disappear. I've seen them do all these things. So my perspective of what's real is a little bit warped, different, whatever you want to say. You know, but I am blessed because I completely understand that reality as we have created it is not as solid as what we think it is. And yet without it, we wouldn't have all these gifts. Yes?
I wasn't going to share, but I feel Spirit just nudging me. When I was young, of course I married young and had my son at a young age, and I left his father because of abuse and physical, emotional, all of the above. And when he was 18, he died in a car accident. And at the time I was raised, my father was a Southern Baptist minister. And I don't want to get into, you know, talking bad about other religions or anything, because again, that was my where I was supposed to be. That's the way I was supposed to be raised. But my son's passing was the catalyst and the gift for me to leave that teaching and to be a place of peace now that I never would have been had my son not passed. When he passed, I had to figure out what God's love meant for me, not what my father said it was supposed to look like, not what the church said it was supposed to look like. And that put me on a journey that I never would have been on. And just in the past few years, I've met a group of people that just have helped me grow. And one of the friends of mine, her favorite thing to say is, everything is in divine order and as it should be. And that has been my mantra. And to be able, of course, I've got six brothers and sisters, and they're all still stuck. And to be able to sometimes just put a little word in that says, it's okay, don't be afraid, it's all the way it's supposed to be. And they just don't understand why I get my peace. Because here they are, you know, they're fundamentalists, you know, Christian, and there's no peace. They're all afraid, they're all anxious, you know, and just every once in a while I'm able to just put in a little word, and I know, you know, they're just like, how can she find such peace when she's lost her only child, when she's been through what she's been through in her life, and yet I feel like I'm in more peace than any of them. So that mantra, everything is in divine order and as it should be, just sits with me every moment.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. Boy, if you could see the light, how many of you can see the light in here right now? Yeah, it's just, you know. And as we bring that light in, then we not only support each other in the I Am, but we have an effect on Franklin, and we have an effect on the whole planet and the whole universe. So I have a short meditation, so if you want to get comfortable. And like my grandmother, like my grandson said, don't dwell on the dumb things. Okay? The crystal balls. Listen to the voice of the unlimited universe of light as it speaks within me. It is the voice of truth deep inside me, is the perfect unlimited seed of my soul. It is there that all possibilities exist. Within this place of peace, joy, love, and light. I sense a living, breathing universe of light dwelling within me, and I in it. I am one with all life and all of everything. The limitless power of creation, of light, is mine to draw form. For the light is in me, and the light is one with me, and I am the light. Each day opens a new doorway. A door to an unlimited universe of light. I am that portal. I am the universe. I am unlimited soul. I am that you are. You can come back now. Thank you very much.